This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-hosts, Raul and Shu. We're recording this on Sunday. Wanted to take a day or two to kind of absorb some of that. Obviously, Friday night, Duke fell to Arizona 78-73 in Cameron. Ironically, that was Coach's first ever loss in Cameron. Got this one out of the way pretty early this year, unfortunately. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to kind of preview Michigan State coming up and hopefully get things back on track. So if you didn't watch, I'm not sure what you're doing here at this point, but I'm assuming everyone did watch. Flip was awesome. Finished with 25-8. Roach chipped in. There was 17. Again, unfortunately, that's the only two guys that cracked double figures for us. So we'll jump in and talk about the game a little bit and get our perceptions here. Let's start with, first, let me back up a little bit. There's been a lot of buzz about like just the significance of this game. And I will say that it was really cool to kind of have this type of game. Duke fans, we have big games every year early, but those are typically because we're playing in some tournament or the Champions Classic or like ACC Big Ten or whatever it is now, ACC SEC Challenge. But to have a true like home and home like this, like you have to really go back a while to have just had this type of slate. So I thought that was really cool to see where we stand, to have this sort of energy in, you know, November, early November, kind of unprecedented. So we can talk about that.
Especially to be so
too
early. I think like the St. John's ones that we used to do, they were like February games, right? Late January, they were.
Yeah. And it was hit or miss on how good St. John's really was.
Sure.
Or like, you know, sometimes they were really good. Other times, not so much. But
other times they just kicked our ass despite not being good.
Yeah,
like remember the Nolan Smith year?
Yep. Yep. Despite it. Yep. And even for the 1K game, right? Like
yeah,
that was a
we
really
came back
close game
down
too.
From like 15 down or something, I think, and won that.
Yeah. Tyus was huge late. I remember that. Let's start with the first half here. I think this is probably going to be the most negative, but just because the first half was just not good for us. Just really couldn't get the offense struggling. I know Coach was talking about in his post game that and pretty candid, really, that it just wasn't Duke basketball. He was like, I don't really know. I'd have to go back and watch film. We weren't moving the ball. We were getting too ISO heavy. We watched the game live with Shuff. Shouts to Shuff. Do you think that was anything that, like, Arizona was doing? Or do you think we were just pressing too much? Guys were just trying to make a play here? Or did you attribute that to just Arizona's defensive game plan?
I guess a little bit of both, but a lot of it, and we'll probably get into it, the shooting early on, especially the three-point shooting. I think we were like 2 of 11 or something like that in the first half. A lot of those threes that we took early on were just guards getting a rebound, coming up court, and just kind of walking into a three, not a pass made, you know. So sometimes those are great shots, but they're also – sometimes they're tough. Like Proctor was pretty much into a full sprint and stopped and shot one. So tough to get stuff going that way. And then – a lot of the other ones, like, you know, those guys were kind of physical inside. Balo's a big dude. So maybe that got into the back of their head and they just, you know, started taking some more ISO stuff. We were also getting a lot of our passes deflected. So,
yeah,
you know, instead of getting the ball stolen, let's just make a move and try to go one-on-one.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Tommy Lloyd had I don't know if I'm impressed by Arizona's defense. You know, we were just talking offline, like Rolla said, it's hard to tell if they're going to be a really good defensive team. But I think what we can say is they had an excellent defensive game plan coming into this game. It was almost like watching like an NBA playoff game in terms of just like they were so crisp on how they wanted to disguise certain coverages and how they wanted to get into certain sets against certain guys. Like we saw Ryan Young standing on the perimeter for minutes, just no one within 10 feet of him, yep. Right? Like just nowhere to go. Kind of was just hoping you got to take that shot, bro. Right. At that point, you just got to take that shot and just live with it.
Yeah. They obviously didn't respect Mitchell's shot either.
Mitchell. Yeah. I mean, he had four really good wide open looks from three. Couldn't capitalize on those. I think it got in his head a little bit of, oh, they're just not going to come out on me. Everyone else, they played pretty much straight up with, right. You know, like they just guarded, but doing that, you're playing 3-on-5 at that point a little bit. And it starts to get psychological. It was almost like watching what was it? We were at that game, shoot. Was it UCF 2019 when they just were like Taco Fall is going to guard Trey from the paint, like from the rim, and almost worked. It was that level of like preparation. So shouts to Tommy Lloyd in Arizona, I guess, for just coming in with, hey, this is our game plan. We're going to ride it. If Mitchell shoots 5 for 6 from three, they beat us and we'll just live with it. You don't see that very often in college.
That's really. What I was going to say. For whatever reason, it seems basic, like play off the guy who can't shoot, but right. It's just not something college coaches do. They tend to like to play their like kind of fixed defense they play throughout the year, and then they don't really switch it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, yeah, I think we said coming into the game that he's like, we consider Tommy Lloyd one of the top tier coaches in college basketball. So that was definitely a concern of ours.
Yeah. Yeah. I just was not expecting that level of precision defensively, I guess, because I thought offensively they didn't really do anything that impressed me a ton to just score 122 points. I thought maybe we were playing good defense, sure, but it wasn't anything super sophisticated. I guess if you can get Caleb Love to only take 9 shots, then that's pretty good considering what he's done in the past. But the other thing in the first half, and really throughout the game, but really in the first half that killed us was the rebounding. At one point, it was 10-0. I think it finished 10-1, but then they had like way more second chance points. If you're getting killed on the boards like that and you can't shoot, or 2-for-11 from three in the first half, you're going to put yourself in a hole. Even then, though, we're right there, right? Yeah. We're right there in the game. Caleb Love hits that shot at the end to kind of boost it and put them up, but it was a 4-point game, 5-point game.
It was 31-30 with 3 minutes and like 20 seconds left, and they just went on this like 11-3 run to close the half.
Yeah.
And then you're digging out of a hole the entire second half.
Yeah.
We talked about offline, we thought we played really well in the second half, but you're down 8 points already. So yeah. You've got to outscore them by 9 to win the game.
Yeah, and that was a killer right there. You know, a little bit of schematic stuff, sure, a little bit of personnel, but I think it's worth kind of unpacking it a little bit just because all summer the whole argument was, you know, do you add another big man? Are we going to be able to compete? And I've seen it, you know, this game kind of all those people came out, right? They're there in full force of, oh, we need a portal big. Oh, we need this and that. But I still think it's two sides to this too, because like I'm watching Filipowski at the 5 just dominate dudes.
Yep.
I mean, both of their big guys, the physicality didn't bother him. He had 25-8. He was shooting threes when they wouldn't come out. When they did, he was taking dude off the bounce for the scoop. I mean, he was doing whatever he wanted to do. You don't get that if he's not playing in that kind of space, right? Like he wasn't getting that level of looks with Ryan Young on the floor with him.
Yeah, right? I mean, just look at his stats on the year. I know it's only 2 games, but he's averaging 25 points on 63, 57, 86 shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that is National Player of the Year. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's we got to figure it out, but it's not like, you know, okay, you go get a big guy, How much bigger is he really going to be than Mark Mitchell at this point?
You know, a guy that protects the rim. That's what we needed. That's what killed us. Like rewatching the game, just points in the paint. You know, their guards got in by us, and then when Flip or Young or whoever stepped up to stop the ball, they just dropped it off bounce pass for layups.
Sure. Maybe you have to figure out, okay, we need to go back to a conservative defensive system because our guards are getting burned too much. Yeah. That's completely valid, but I don't think, okay, you add another big out there. I don't know. I just don't think it's
that
simple.
What does that do to the offense, though? It's like the reason it worked with Lively last year is because Lively was such a good defender that it was worth giving up a little bit of offense to have him on the floor. So unless you're finding somebody that's like 80% of Lively, then you're just kind of clogging the paint for no reason, which is my problem with Ryan Young right now, but that's a whole different issue.
Or a rim protecting four, like maybe Sean Stewart, which we can get into.
Yeah, we could talk about that. And Mark could even become that, right? I think he can be a much better rebounder than what he was last night or Friday night. And rim protection too. Yeah, like he has the length, he has the physicality, he has the speed, athleticism to be able to do that. I don't think this was a great showing from Reeves. Personally, I think, like, especially when it comes to rebounding, I mean, that guy, that one, that offensive rebound and one that he got was just like, dude, that can't happen. And Roach pretty much came up to him and was like, that's no go, right? Like, you got to have that ball, dude. The one little lob rim run doesn't offset like four offensive rebounds in 90 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, gave
it was
up two or three in one possession.
I like the Sean Stewart thing. Maybe that's a guy that we've continued to kind of see, like, seems like he deserves a little bit more minutes. He plays hard. But again, what made Lively work so well is that none of his energy came from needing the ball offensively. None of his energy or effort came from, like, whether he got one of those putback slams, whether he got a lob. It was all just communication, defense, rim running, playing hard. It's hard to find that. It's hard to get a guy to stay that engaged and say, oh, you might get three shots tonight. You know, like, that's a tough sell. But, you know, either way, their guard play kind of got to us a little bit, too, it looked like, especially in that first half. Boswell, Love hits the big one, puts him up kind of 41-33 heading into half. I guess we can stop there for a second. A lot of talking in this game. A lot of kind of verbal shoot. We were watching it live. What do you make into that? Because I did not see some of these Arizona guys kind of having that sort of mentality. Love, sure. Like, Love and Roach were going to talk all night. Like, Love and Proctor, they're going to talk. But Boswell, the Pele Larson kid, like, they're all jawing. What was that about for you? You think they just had a mindset coming in, thought they were underrated, had something to prove, some bad blood between some guys? I don't know. It was a little bit weird to me. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, look, coming into Cameron, it's not something that Arizona's, I don't know if they've ever played in Cameron. Maybe once before, I think they said somewhere.
It had been since 1990 since they were in Cameron.
Yeah. So, you know, historic venue. Coach K's there. You know, it's a big game. It's the first ever whiteout. You know, I imagine the emotions are just high. And obviously, Caleb's probably talked to him about playing in there and how they're going to be getting it from the crowd. So I can see where all that kind of gets to you. And, you know, if you're winning, you start chirping a little bit.
What'd you make of the Tar Heel for Life shoes Glove had on?
Odd. Yeah. Very odd. You know, I guess that's how he feels. I don't know how I would feel in that situation. I don't know. That's
based on what we've heard that came out regarding the decision to leave there, or whether or not it was his decision or not. Just a bit. And to see all them claiming him too. It's like, well, where was all this love for him last year?
Yeah.
Probably still be there, right? You run the guy off. And I don't know. That's just a bit odd to me. Ro, do you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, it's just hilarious. It's I did not get to watch the game live. So I was kind of watching some of it on YouTube, and I was looking at the comments, and all these like UNC fans are there being like, I hope Love has success at Arizona. Wish him nothing but the best. He deserves it. That kind of thing. And I'm like, that's not what you were saying like deep into last year. Mm-hmm. So just kind of this about face is just funny to me.
Yeah. There's a cancer to the team.
Right. Exactly.
You want him to do well, just not here, bro. Yeah. Right. Like, okay. But you know, whatever. He had some nice little choice words there, I think, for Proctor after he made the buzzer beater at the half. You know, it's a typical Caleb Love shot, right? It's a typical, but at the same time, it's like, what are we doing? We let the dude see the rim the whole way down the floor, man. Like, I even caught it to shoot. As soon as he caught it, I was like, he's making that. Yep. This is going, because no one tried to contest. It was way too late on the denial. But whatever, put ourselves in a pretty bad hole going to half. Second half, completely different, right? Like, yeah. I thought we like thoroughly outplayed them the entire second half, except for that final like 48 seconds when it got away from us. But basically, we're down eight. If it was a remotely close game, we're probably up six or seven in the second half. Like, we completely flipped the script, and then just couldn't get it done. I mean, we got the shots to fall. We go 2 for 11 in the first half, go 6 from 11 from three after the break. What do you think was going on there? I mean, they talked about, you know, moving the ball a little bit more. Do you think it was a function of the offense kind of clicking, something that we were doing systematically? Or just reverting back to the mean a little bit. Shoot, did you take anything from that? Or you just
What I saw is that we definitely were moving the ball. There's a lot of pick and pops, especially with Flip. I think Balo had scored on him and gave him the too little, and then Flip came right back down, set a screen, rolls off of it, hits a three, like, all right, you know, you do what you do, but I can do this. And then obviously Jeremy hit three, I think, and a lot of them were two of them might have been coming like pick and pops, and then obviously the last one
on the curl,
curl on the out of bounds play.
That's a big shot.
That was a big, huge shot. So I just thought that we were moving the ball, playing more Duke basketball in the second half, and getting shots for ourselves.
Yeah,
instead of like making our own shot.
Well, this isn't on the offensive end, but we cleaned up the rebounding as well.
Yes.
I think I saw that they rebounded 55% of their misses in the first half, which is obviously terrible. But then they finished the game at like 36 or 37%, which means we probably only allowed them to get like 20% of their misses in the second half, which is great. Yeah. That's like Virginia defensive rebounding numbers. So just cleaning that up meant that, that just helped our defense tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. And even in the second half, it's like they still found a way to get lucky ball. Like, we had two steals, like, right there where we almost have it, and then they get it, and Boswell just kicks it right down to somebody, right? Or kicks it right to Ballo, and they get points out of it.
Yeah, it feels cheap to complain about some of those lucky shots and stuff, too, but there really were a lot, not just the Caleb Love bank shot, but
Boswell hit the step back three,
and then he hits the around the world.
Right? Yeah, the circus layup too. Yeah,
not even looking at the rim, just I throws think Bradley it back. Hit one
go driving left and shot it, you know, right handed off the backboard. Like, not a great shot.
But and then obviously that final and one too. That wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of shot puts that thing up there, and it rattles down. That was tough. Rotation. Kind of shorted down a little bit. I think that's something to maybe talk about here. When I went, like, after the game, I was like, man, like, it didn't feel like Foster did anything or played at all. He plays 15 minutes, but it's pretty invisible out there, really, right? Like, this is a guy that I thought had a really good game last game. Obviously, this is not Dartmouth. We're all aware of that. But I thought against Arizona's defense, especially against their guards, like, Love is a defensive sieve. Boswell was fine, but it's not like he was out there locking dudes up. I thought Foster would be able to get to the rim in this game, at least in the lane, and make something good happen. Just wasn't there, you know.
He wasn't sure what to do to be aggressive. Yeah, it was kind of like a two dribbles to drive, and then just, all right, let me kick it back out. You know, it's
And it looks like John, too, wants to run a more sophisticated offensive system. And Foster is probably a guy that's going to take him a little bit just used to being able to, like, I can get the ball, send me a ball screen, I can get to the rim, right? Or I can get to somewhere and make something happen rather than playing within the system. Would have liked to call maybe a few more things for him a little bit, too, here or there to see what was going to happen. But either way, we didn't get much from him. Didn't get much at all from the bench, really. Across the board, Sean Stewart gave a few good minutes there. Jalen Blake's, after playing again exceptional against Dartmouth, not much action here. TJ didn't get off the bench. Reeves, I think, just played those 2 minutes in the first half. and that was it. It was pretty much the guards and Ryan Young and a little bit of Caleb Foster. Two games in, what do y'all make of that? Concern level? Is it just because of the matchup wanting to win the game, or are we really just not as deep as we thought we were?
You know, there was a lot of made over the summer about Jeremy coming back and, oh, we've got Foster and we've got McCain. Like, I'm glad Jeremy came back now. We'd be in a world of hurt without him, because as much as I do like McCain and Foster and especially their potential, I don't think they're anywhere near like ready to really give you a lot right out of the gate, especially against the Arizonas, the Baylors, the Arkansas, some of these top tier teams that we'll be playing. I don't know, Raul. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Roach has clearly been our best guard so far, right? Like, And, you know, and that's even taking Proctor into account coming back, and everybody's expecting him to have this big year. And he was good in the first game, but in this game, I thought he just looked a little outmatched physically, whereas Roach looked completely comfortable and ready to play, especially when he got it going. But just the physical aspect of it, Roach is just, you know, can kind of handle that level of physicality, and Proctor doesn't look like he can. And then, of course, you know, Foster and McCain both being so young, it's just like, it's a lot to ask of them in their second game in college. So like you, I'm really glad he came back, but it is a little concerning that in game two, Roach is playing 38 minutes, you know, Flips up there as well. Probably would have been even more if not for the fouls and stuff, but and we're essentially down to seven men and player six and seven aren't even playing that many minutes.
Right.
It's like a K rotation, you know?
Yeah. And my concern too is, again, we're still so young into the season where everything's going to be overreactionary until we have enough sample to really kind of look at data. I was a little disappointed in Tyrese. I'm not going to lie. You know, I thought that, I thought he played okay, but I just wished he would have played a little bit more aggressive, you know, to really try to make, to kind of get things going. He had some really nice things in the ball screen. That little like pass he had to flip over Crevis when he wasn't looking, and he just kind of threw it just right between dude's shoulders. That was great. You know, he missed some threes.
He had a lot of balls that like he got into the lane doing the same thing they did. Tried to make a pass and it got deflected and stolen.
Him and McCain both struggled with that a lot. Yeah. Trying to
he had the one wrap around to Young and Young just didn't catch
Young
it.
Young bobbles it.
Yeah.
Had one or two to wide open. Mark Mitchell misses those threes, right? If you're right. Yeah. So if let's say if Mark shoots 50% on wide open threes, and Young catches that, then he has three more assists to go into it, and maybe it kind of changes how we look at it. So that's a solid point. McCain as well. You know, I thought he was scrappy, loved what he was doing, kind of active defensively. He seemed fine. I think he led us an assist, if I'm not.
Yeah, and he had three rebounds too, right?
Rebounded well too from that spot.
Yeah, four rebounds too. You know, the rebounding is a huge thing. When Jerry McCain is second on the team, or I guess Mark had five, that's gotta go up. No, not a single double digit rebounder too. And I guess if you wanted to examine Flip at the five, I don't understand why he was such a better rebounder at the four. But maybe again, small sample, and we'll just kind of continue to see where that goes. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to panic yet. I think Sean Stewart is a guy that could get more minutes. I think Foster is going to be fine, you know, at a certain point, like it'll come to him. But those non-Flip minutes are going to be, because he's basically the offense. Like he's the offensive system. Everything that we can do, everything to open everything up, it has to go through him. Even if it's just him setting a ball screen or doing a curl or being a decoy, the non-Flip minutes are going to be pretty, interesting, I guess, to say the least right now.
Well, I will say that the minutes with Young as the lone big last year looked pretty good, actually. They would usually come kind of against second units, I guess. But so maybe there's something in that, like just having Young with some spacing out there could work a little bit too, rather than having so many of Young's minutes overlap with Flip like they seem to.
Sure. And we didn't really play an offensively powered team like this last year. Maybe Purdue, but Purdue offensively is not as good as Arizona is. And Purdue waxed us, right? So it's like, all right, well, maybe there is some growth there.
The same concept, just dump it down to their monster inside. I mean, that's what Purdue did to us.
Yeah. But even then, you know, and that's the last kind of point I'll make with the two big thing is it's not like those Arizona post-ups were killing us. Like, I'm fine with that, right? Like, Bella has an 82 offensive rating. He's shoots 6 of 12 from 2. Like, that's great paint defense there, right? If I can hold him to 50% on post-ups, that's fine.
I mean, if we just do a normal job of rebounding, they're like below 70 points, and then we're feeling great about the defense, right?
Yeah, that was the,
The rebounding's obviously been an issue throughout every game we've played, you know, exhibition notwithstanding. So,
So, you know, we'll see. We'll kind of continue to check that out. But let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll do our player spotlights.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Well, you know, obviously it's a loss. So the spotlights aren't going to be quite as bright as normal. But we'll still kind of go through and pick out a guy that or two that you thought was, you know, that played well, or did some things well. I can start it off here. Not going to take, I guess, the obvious ones. I thought Jared McCain played really well, and it didn't really kind of like jump out. But when I went back and rewatched it, was looking at the box score, we just mentioned it. You know, he has 4 rebounds. He has 5 assists. He has 3 steals. He had 3 turnovers. 2 of them were where he was just really trying to make a play. Like that one, he just kind of whipped a pass down, got picked off. Can't make that pass, right? You can't make a no-look pass through 3 guys. That's probably not going down against a team like Arizona. But he seemed composed, and then like, or composed, 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 whichever one, pick your poison. But what really got me though, is when we were watching the game at Shoes and that big had the ball and like Jared's there, like not just letting him like put it down and go right back up. Right. He's like, dude, if you put this on the floor, I'm taking it. Basically, that is huge. Right. Just being able to scrap, being willing to get down there and gain rebound, do some dirty work. Maybe that was on the scouting report and I just missed it. I didn't think we were getting that from Jared in that terms of just being able to do it all and just be so valuable across the board. So I thought for him as a Frosch coming into this game, the moment didn't seem too big for him. The physicality didn't seem to kind of bother him a ton. Thought he played well. So I'll take Jared for mine. Rolo, I'll toss it to you next. Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, this is the obvious one, but it's Kyle Filipowski. And I mentioned his shooting splits earlier, you know, just being phenomenal, you know, 62.5 field goal percentage, 57.3, 85.7 free throw percentage, you know, just offensive efficiency off the charts. One thing I'm noticing when digging through his stats is just his 2-point attempts are way up. And that's been the main difference in his usage. His usage overall isn't actually that much higher, but he's clearly getting a lot more shots at the basket. So like last year, his 2-point attempts are 8.5 per game, and now they're up to 12.5 per game. And he's shooting 64% on those versus 50% last year. So just huge jump in efficiency and finishing so far. But there are some critiques you could have. The whole team has been bad at drawing free throws. I don't think we've talked about that yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And his free throw attempts are actually down, and they're only at 3.5 per game, which is really low for a 7-footer in a 5-out system who attacks the rim as much as he is. So you'd like to see that go up. Ideally, you think his free throw attempts should be like 6 or 7 a game at least. So that could really help out the team with our free throw drawing, just get us some easy points. But other than that, there's, you know, not a lot to complain about. Maybe you'd like to see his, like you already mentioned, his rebounding at the 5 be as good as it was at the 4 last year. But yeah, I mean, he's playing at a national player of the year level. And he's really what kept us in that game at all.
Yeah. Well, and maybe you just answered it too, right? Because if his 2-point percentage is going up 15 points, most of his offensive rebounds last year were his own offensive rebounds, yeah, right? Yeah. So if he's not missing them and putting them back, then that might be explained some.
Yeah, I should look at the defensive rebounding versus last year. I wonder if the drop off is all on offensive rebounding. That would make sense.
I mean, he only had one Friday, so.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So,
and also shouts to Flip. I mean, he battled Balo all night.
Yeah, he was
able to put up this. So, you know, good on him for that.
Yeah, had a block, 2 steals as well, right? So yeah, Flip was, you know, he shot 3 or 5 from 3. Like that's what we want, about 5 attempts from him, like those open pick and pops. It's just got to get some help, right? Got to get some help down there, chilling. But
I thought that he looked really fluid shooting it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year it was kind of like a little rough, and then we got to the end of the season in the ACC tournament, and his shot looked really good, and that's where it seems to be at now still.
Yeah, yeah. The only really one was that, like, kind of step back he tried to do over, like, the Krivas guy, right? It's
for sure.
All right, maybe we don't need that, but I think by that point, he's probably just sitting there like, if I don't do something, no one else is, right? So,
yeah. I mean, I'd be fine with him getting a few more pick and pops per game, taking a few more catch and shoot attempts.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeps the lane open too, so. Yeah.
Especially from that, I think it's the left wing, that's the one he kind of likes, yep.
Yeah. All right, Shu, who you got?
I'm going to go with Jeremy. I mean, I think that's an obvious. He was the only other guy in double figures. A little bit of a rant, you know. Jeremy came back last year, you know, one of only 2 guys that came back, didn't have to come back. There was a lot of talk that he was probably going to be his last year. So to have him come back for a senior season, again, I think I mentioned this last time, a McDonald's All-American that we've had for 4 years, we just don't see that a lot. I think Duke fans need to really appreciate everything Jeremy's done for us, and I don't know if they all do that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are always enamored with the new toy, the new freshman, but like I mentioned earlier, McCain and Foster, great players. I think they're going to be great down the road for us, but, you know, right out of the gate, they're just not ready yet, so not having Jeremy would have been, I mean, we probably would have lost by double figures last night, or Friday night, sorry. So just wanted to talk about, like, the big shots that he made, especially in the second half, 3 of 5 from 3, some of those mid-range shots, just getting in the lane amongst the trees and throwing up nice soft floaters. I mean, that's what he does. That's what a vet does. So thought he had a really great game.
Yeah, only the 1 turnover too. You know, he had the 2 steals. I thought Roach was great.
So there was a point in the game last night, it was about halfway through the second half, maybe, where he hits a floater in the lane that kind of ties the game at like 62 or 63 or something like that. I was going to ask you guys, because you watched it live, how you felt in that moment. Because I know I would have felt like, oh, we're winning this.
There were multiple times where we thought we were winning it, right? Like he hits that shot.
He hits that three and we
obviously
thought,
that
okay.
three late.
The three, the curl late was huge. He had another one that he hit, just a soft little like mid-range. Maybe that's the same one there. But because he kind of went into takeover mode there for a little bit. And like him and Flip just had this nice dynamic going for about 5 or 6 minutes there where it looked like you're right. I was like, all right, we got the crowd. And it all comes down to that like 30 second, or maybe it was even less than that. We swap the four, have to get the stop, give up an and one, come back down, and Tyrese drags his foot in the lane. And it's that's game. That's ball game right there. Right. Like,
and I think Sam Vecenie maybe pointed out on Twitter that that Tyrese travel was sort of caused by having Ryan Young out there, because Ryan rolled into Flip right in the lane and that made Tyrese hesitate.
Yep. Yeah. That was bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that was bad. And you know, there's a lot of games where Ryan Young's going to be able to do a lot of good things. I just didn't think for the first like 10 of his minutes were just not good. Right. They were targeting him. He wasn't rebounding. That final 5 or 6 minute stretch where he stayed in was fine, other than some of the issues that it's causing offensively in terms of if you're rolling right into Flip and you can't pop, so it creates issues, right? It creates issues.
I think Shire's got to be a little quicker to see how they were guarding him in the first half there. Like, you know, you put him out there, and if the big is going to come out and guard him at the 3-point line for no good reason, then you can leave him out there because it's not hurting our offense. But if a coach is going to be smart enough just to actually have the players sag 15 feet off of him, you can't have him out there.
Yeah. That's
just, and they said, they said that you take away the cuts, make it even hard to get a 3-point shot off because everybody's kind of, you know, pressed outward.
Once he had the ball at the top of the key, and it's like, if you're going to take a three, it's either that one or a corner, right? And for him to just not take that shot at all, it's like, dude, at that point, you can't play in this game probably, right? Or we have to figure it out and do things differently, because I don't care if you miss it or airball it, you got to shoot it.
Yeah. And we know he can make them.
He doesn't have a bad shot. I mean,
I'm not saying he's going to shoot 40%, but like, even guys like, you know, Wendell Carter and Vernon Carey and Marvin Bagley, they would take a wide open three when the defender was playing 15 feet off of them.
Yeah, you just have to. You
Marshall
have
Plumlee's to. Still one of one. You know?
Exactly.
Hey, yeah. You know, so I think Grohl kind of nailed it, though. The biggest concern for me is Duke's always been a team that's known for shooting or making more free throws than anybody else shoots, right? Like, that was a huge K thing, especially kind of starting like the late 90s, 2000, or the early aughts there. We are not good at that at all this year. And it doesn't seem to matter who we play. I mean, Tyrese has one free throw. Roach has two. Flip, how it only shoots three. We only shoot 12 as a team. To be five out, to have such an open lane, to want to be able to drive and play quick, we got to get to the line, because we're making 9 of 12. We're shooting 75% as a team. Like, that needs to be closer to 20 to 25. And it's just not. You know, I don't know if that's the system or just the guys are just not going in to draw the contact or what it is. But that's something that I think we should probably monitor.
I don't want to move into the Michigan State preview without talking about that final 4.6 seconds. And
take it away. I know you got some thoughts on that. So how did you like the Leitner pass?
It made absolutely no sense to me. You know, with 4.6 seconds, I don't see why you don't have a guy at least coming off the free throw line and trying to get a straight line shot. You can get two or three dribbles before heaving it up from half court, or maybe even inside a half court, throwing that pass to Flip and him catching it there at the sideline with his back to the basket with presumably one or two guards going to be down. Like, what is he going to do with it there? I just didn't understand what the point in that one was.
Yeah, that was pretty criminal, really, right? For that just to be, and I even heard, maybe it was Ryan or maybe it was John, that were like, well, you know, with that amount of time, you're just kind of throwing it up and hoping. It's like, no, you're not. Like, you have way more time than that, right? We're talking about you bring Flip up and catch it, and you got two guards streaking to try to just give and go or to do something.
I would have been fine with even just, if you are going to throw a long pass, just throw it to somebody in the center of the court or something.
Yeah, so
it's less likely to get tipped out of bounds, and the person can just turn around and throw a half court shot. Even that's better than throwing in this area where it's so easy to steal or trap.
How much time did Caleb Love have when he caught the ball off the rim and got down there and took the shot that he did, right? Probably the same amount. Maybe it took him less than 5 seconds to get that shot. I mean, if, like you said, if nothing else, give me the Sean Dockery attempt.
Right.
Give me that, at least someone catching and looking at the rim. But, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter at this point. But, yeah, brutal.
Yeah, just
a brutal ending there.
Yeah, just that one just got me more than anything, I guess, because I just have never seen that with that much time. If it's one second, 2 seconds, okay, maybe, but 4.6, like, especially with a Roach or Foster, McCain, like, get a screen for him, get him going towards the basket, get the ball to him, and let him
see what happens.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I was just already deflated after, like, we scored and we slapped the four and they get the and one to me. It was like, well, if you get the stop there, you might break them. Right. Yep. Psychologically, you might get in their heads. Cameron's going to be fired up. If you score after that, it's over.
Yeah.
More than likely. But if you just get the stop, it's huge. To give up the and one after doing that, you know, those guys were like, oh, yeah, this is over, bro. This is over. But whatever. We'll see. You know, no time to rest here or whatever.
Look, long run, like I'm, like you said at the start, I'm glad we had this game. I don't think it hurts us at all.
No,
You know, going forward, I'd rather learn these lessons in November than to learn them, you know, late March, when you're going home from learning them. So,
yeah. I mean, we've seen that that Shire can get a team to improve dramatically throughout the year.
Yep.
The issue, of course, is that you have to front load the schedule because of the way the ACC is now. So you have all these really tough games. So if you come out of it not winning enough of them, then you just end up with a 4 or 5 seed. And then it's just, you know, tougher path than it needs to be. Not that it would rule out anything, but it's just an unfortunate situation where if the ACC was really good, I just would not be worried about this at all because you'd have so many chances to kind of redeem yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love having it. I was just kind of hoping with not being so freshman oriented that it would be a game we could win at home, you know, too. I guess I was maybe a little too optimistic. I think we all picked us to win there, but you know, we'll see if we get another chance at maybe what's a not so great win, even if we would win. I don't know. Michigan State's kind of like in a weird place right now, but
I mean, they're still probably ranked pretty high, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know what they'll tomorrow. Be when it comes out tomorrow. They're 30th on KenPom right now.
Right.
So, you know, but
weren't they like
they're fourth? I would imagine.
So they're not going to fall like
they'll probably 25, be 12,
12, 8, yeah, 9, 9, 10, yeah,
12 somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah,
even.
12 maybe. Yeah.
I mean, that's still going to look like a good win is the point.
Yeah, it should. It should, especially by the time that they're like 7-1 in February or whatever whenever Izzo turns it on. That's Tuesday in Chicago, the Champions Classic. We get Michigan State. I think I saw somewhere where this is like one of the rare times we get the early game, which is kind of nice. I feel like we always get the late game, which really sucks, but love getting that early one. So instead of this being a top 5 matchup, we're probably looking at maybe a top 15-ish matchup, probably somewhere around in there. I don't know how far Duke's going to fall. I wouldn't think we'd get, you know, massacred for losing the game to Arizona, but you know, we'll see. Michigan State right now is in a really funky place. So they lost to James Madison at home, and if you want to think, well, you know, maybe James Madison is really good, well, then they followed that up with a double overtime scraping win against Kent State after that. So maybe they're just not that good to begin with.
I was looking
two games. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was looking at all their Ken Pom numbers. Yeah, you were probably about to get into this, but they're not doing anything well.
No, like nothing. 6.5% from three through two games. Yeah. That's 350th.
And good news for us, they're horrible at rebounding too.
Yeah, yeah. They do like to assist on a lot of their field goals makes, but they're not shooting or making or take. They're not doing anything from three. Their offense looks absolutely dreadful right now. Now, I say all this and Tyson Walker is probably going for 30, right? Like that, maybe. We ought to hammer this, I would imagine, right? Coming off a loss, the defense looked fine against Arizona, right? That was one thing that we thought this game was going to be played in the 80s or maybe even higher. And I know they got 78, but for the most part, this game was played in the 60s and like barely kind of creeping into the 70s late. That ought to be a big advantage for us playing a Michigan State team that has no offensive identity really and can't shoot. So
you talk about shooting, it's even harder to shoot in those huge ass arenas like they'll be playing in. So that's probably, you know, hopefully works in our favor as well.
You got to think, right? Yeah, or at least you got to hope that we can get something out of that. Now they're old, you know, they start what, three seniors and a junior and a sophomore or something like that. So, you know, they got some experience, but so do we really, you know, I mean, our starting lineup has all been back. Roach has been through all of these kinds of games. I don't think anyone's going to be scared of that. And I would look for Flip to play just as well, if not better. I don't see anyone on their front line where I'm like, oh, this guy's going to give Flip like a ton of problems. Malik Hall, 6'8", 220. I'll take 7 foot, 250. You know, with a guy that can space. They don't really have anyone off their bench, I think, that's playing major minutes that could come in and challenge him for that either. So should be a big game for Flip.
And they get the big guy that we were recruiting. Was it Xavier Boker? You see that name on there? I think he's coming off the bench. It was like a top.
That was like a very brief like recruitment though, right? Sure. Like a very, very brief.
Yeah, he is listed here, but he's you know, it's only two games, of course, but he's down in the limited role / limited number of possessions use part of KenPom here. He's actually listed very last, so he's not playing a big role so far. But yeah, I do remember us recruiting him, and he was kind of intriguing because he's athletic. He can shoot a little bit, could probably protect the rim, but, you know, who knows? He's still a freshman.
Izzo also didn't play.
I was going to say, leave it to Izzo to bury a top 10 recruit on the bench. Right?
Jackson Jr.
Yeah. Shout out to Jaren Jackson, you know, so.
In his 6 minutes a game at Michigan State.
Yeah. You know, they do block shots. They do like to get up and some of your stuff there, but I don't see Flip having a bad game unless just Flip has a bad game, right? Where if he's just like turning the ball over, dribbling off his legs, or just missing wide open shots. But he should be able to pretty much get in spaces. They're not like their guards size shouldn't bother us. I mean, 6'1", 6'4", 6'4", we match up great with that. The Holloman 6'2". I don't know. I hate to predict kind of another big win after just getting blasted from doing it against Arizona, but I feel like I'm being too positive here. Do y'all see anything that says, you know, hey, we could really lose this game, or we should really be watching out for this? This is going to be tough. I just don't see it. Any of y'all make the argument for Michigan State here? Anybody going with the Sparties?
Nah. I mean, I haven't watched them play, but.
Do you need to? Really?
I don't know if, yeah, exactly.
It would be massively disappointing, and I would start to question some of the things we're doing out on the court if we weren't able to kind of bounce back and get this win.
Yes. We dropped this one back to back to Arizona, Michigan State. It's obviously it's not like full on panic, but it's full on early season panic for me, right? In terms of like, okay,
it's like, maybe we're not as good as we thought. Maybe like there's an inflation caused by ending the end of last year so well and all that stuff. So
And just thinking that, okay, all of these frosh are going to make this big leap into sophomores. And we've seen it from Flip. Jury's still out on the other two, right? To see if they're going to make that level of improvement. Roach is probably just going to be the same guy he's kind of been. Maybe you get a little bit better efficiency here or there. But yeah, we lose this one. And it's probably DEFCON 3 or 4 for me, right? Of like, especially because you don't get another chance for you know, 15
you get Arkansas after
that's on the road, Right. And if you drop these two, I'm not going to predict us to go down and win in Arkansas.
No, that's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough place.
That was my loss to begin with, probably. Yeah, I think I had us going 3-1 or 2-2 and these four.
And you want to talk about physical teams, you know, Arkansas is going to play physically.
Yeah. And Musselman's a wild man too, right? So he's going to be out there. Like, that place is going to be rocking.
Yeah. I mean, their offense is going to be disgusting, I'm sure, but.
Yeah, I'm sure defense will be insane.
Yeah. I mean, they had one of those charity exhibitions that they packed out, filled out. Yeah. So,
yeah. So, you know, and our boy L. Ellis is down there. So, you know, from Louisville. So he might drop a 30 burger on us again or something.
Well, I mean, did he put like 20 on us like in the first couple minutes?
Yeah, he was unstoppable there for like a 7-minute stretch or whatever it was. But, yeah, so I mean, I guess we can give official, might as well, since we do it with Arizona here. Shu, I'll go to your first. Give me a score. Michigan State Champions Classic Tuesday in Chicago.
I'm going to go
71-68.
Okay. Oh, he's got it low. I was going to go like 82-73.
Okay, Duke by 9. Okay.
Yeah.
Roll, what you got?
Yeah, after seeing our offense, I'm not willing to say that we're going to score in the 80s. 74-68.
Oh, okay. So y'all are going, all right. Yeah. The only reason I'm going to give it a little bit higher scoring than I want to is because John seemed pretty heated about the lack of ball movement and what we were doing. In the second half, it looked fine. Give me... What'd you say, Shu? 82-73?
Yeah.
Man, this is going to not age well at all. What the hell? Give me 85-68. I'll take that. We might not win by that big of a chance, but I think right now in my mind, that should be the gap between these two teams. I am not sold on Michigan State, especially not Michigan State in November. You know, they beat us, but I think they will just say more about us than it will about them at that point. I think
they'll have a decent contingency of fans in Chicago. I mean, that's not far.
As many as we will, though.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, John's from up there. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Bloodlines are deep up there. I would imagine we would have a pretty good showing. So, you know, 71-68 to me seems really, really small of a margin there for KenPom. So maybe he knows something more about it than I do, but
it also just seems like I said before, I think there's a lot of baked in stuff about last year's pace and all that there, you know, because I'm sure he still has our pace down in like the 250s or something.
Sure. And Tyson Walker's great. Like I think he's phenomenal. I was high on him last year too, but you know, we got some guys that we can throw on him. You know, you put Proctor on him at 6'5". You need to bring Blake in or let Jared do it. You know, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, so. I agree with what you were saying. It's like, if we lose this one, to me, it just says more about us not being ready rather than Michigan State
being good.
If we play well, we should beat the doors off of them, honestly.
Yeah. I think if we play the exact same way that we just did against Arizona, we beat Michigan State by 5-7.
Right.
Now, if we play better than that, that's what I'm hoping. Then that's why, you know, a 17-point prediction is a little drastic, but well, what the hell, right? Like, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. But
we make stupid predictions on this podcast all the time. Who cares?
Yeah, right. So why not be positive at this point?
People aren't keeping receipts so far, it doesn't seem like. We haven't gotten a lot of emails calling out our dumb predictions.
Yeah, well, because most of our listeners are going to be wanting us to probably pick Duke, right? It's not like our CBS guys or the Ion College basketball where they have to be a little more tame. But yeah, we'll see. So we'll probably come back sometime after the Michigan State game and do a little reaction to that and then kind of preview maybe some Bunk of these Nail. Other ones. That are, yeah.
I think I'm going to that one.
We might lump some of those together because it's Bucknell, LaSalle, Southern Indiana, right? So like we can maybe lump some of that stuff together. But we'll definitely come back after Michigan State to either right the ship or to do some doom and gloom stuff. But in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. As always, you can find us on the board or YouTube, thedevilsden.com. We're on Twitter @devilsdenpod247.
And keep your head up. No love lost over here. Keep the faces strong and the verb high. Go do.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.